Hi guys, it's your host Jamel and Tristan
with the Meet Me at the Bar podcast. Welcome back to episode 2 of the Meet Me at the Bar podcast. So thank you for people that listened to our first episodes. You've managed to hear us ramble on for just 17 minutes, but that's pretty good going, we think. So in this episode, we are going to be talking about the new world order. And no, that's not a conspiracy. What we're really talking about is the sort of new normal and getting back to normal. So things like going back to the gym and returning to fitness, returning to the pubs, socializing, and all the things that kind of go with those things, and sort of the juggling about that of trying to do all those things and still succeed. So we're going to talk about some of the considerations, I guess, around the sort of fitness and things that we think that are going to be, that a lot of people can relate to, and hopefully we can throw some stuff in here that can be beneficial to help you towards your goals and in life. So I'm sat here with Jamel, my co-host, and he is just going to talk a little bit about his return to fitness in the gym. Yeah, we'll go from there.
Hiya, mate. Thank you. Hi, guys. I just wanted to clarify one thing based off of episode 1. Obviously, I understand that Lance Armstrong wasn't the first man on the moon. Obviously, I know he was the cyclist. I had a few DMs about that. I thought it come across as a bit of banter. But I actually had a few DMs, so I just wanted to clear that up. Like, sometimes I'm not the brightest, but I definitely didn't get them mixed up.
It's another conspiracy in itself, isn't it? Did people actually land on the moon?
I think we could do a whole other episode about this, mate. my return back to the gym. So, to be honest, mate, I guess you could say I was a bit disheartened going back. I really enjoy strength training, resistance training. I went back, tested a few one rep maxes, mm-hmm. and you know, my numbers were way off. Like, we're talking like 10-15% across the board in major compound lifts and Olympic lifts, which is fine. At the time, I like, for 5 minutes, I was a bit bummed out, but then, and this is where I'm trying to relate to people, where I guess people that potentially don't have the knowledge and just do fitness as a hobby and just go to the gym and stuff, they might go back in and think, oh, actually, I feel great. Like, but why is this now my end result opposed to where I was 5, 6, 7 up to a year ago sort of thing?
Yeah. And it's like the expectations, isn't it? And managing those.
Because I think, and you've just said it, managing those expectations is massive, because if you don't get the result that you want, and then you just can it in altogether, then that's your fitness journey over.
Yeah.
When realistically, 99% of people are now in the same boat as you. So it definitely is about like managing those expectations. So anyway, as I said, I was about 10% off across the board. I was bummed for like 5 minutes. Then I actually thought of like the reasons why like this could be. Like, for me, The biggest one was I've lost a fair bit of weight. So from after contracting COVID on New Year's Eve, which I think I got from you. So cheers, mate.
what a terrible time that was.
I know. So yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, me and Tristan contracted COVID at the exact same time. So we were trying to do like Zoom meetings, etc. While we both had COVID. So while Tristan lives by himself, I still live at home with my mum, so it was all quite awkward.
Yeah, it was a horrid time over Christmas and New Year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Mate.
Nice.
Anyway, where was I? So I lost quite a bit of weight from January to, I finished my diet a couple of weeks back, and basically I've gone down from 97 to about 86.5, 87 kilos. So I've lost about 10% of my mass in total. Obviously, I'm hoping a lot of that was fat and not muscle. But as I said, I've lost 10% of my overall mass. So that is going to affect some of my results. Hence why in powerlifting and weightlifting, they have weight categories and stuff. So I now need to look at it one way that I've managed my expectation that way is, let's just say for numbers' sake, for everyone's sake, because my maths is absolutely awful. If I was 100 kilos and I squatted, my one rep max was 150, say for example, because that's nice and round. I squatted 1.5 times my body weight. Whereas if I was 80 kilos and I squatted 1.5 times my body weight, that would be 120 kilos. So in relative to my actual mass, my one rep max hasn't gone down at all.
Right, yeah.
Okay, the numbers are slightly different, so I'm not 100 and I wasn't 80, but I was up at about 1.7 to 1.8 times my body weight, and I'm still around there. So even though my one rep max has gone down by like 10, 15 kilos or whatever, in compared to my actual mass, like, which is actually relative, like I'm still at the same numbers. So I manage my expectations that way.
Yeah. Strength is kind of, so like there's, so in terms of strength, which is probably what a lot of people have, I guess, worried about or have noticed that they've lost, because there's quite a few factors involved, isn't there? Like, it's not just like one thing.
So obviously I said my weight loss, but I think for most people coming out of the pandemic, I think it will be the fact that you actually just haven't resistance trained in so long. Like, how long was the last lockdown?
A good few months. But then there's, you know, like, over, like, I think for some people, like, it's been the best part of a year because like, even with the short periods we were open again, like, by the time you just started get it going again with your training program, then there was another lockdown. So you could kind of say like it's been a year out, like, for some people.
Definitely. And like, whereas people will have lost like some strength, you've also got to think as well that, say for example, if you set a new one rep max, if you have a half decent coach or follow a half decent plan, that one rep max will come at the end of an 8, a 10, or a 12 week block of constantly focusing on a main key performance indicator, so what we call like a KPI. But whereas you go back into the gym now, as you said, after 5, 6, 7 months off, your like central nervous system is not going to be primed or peaking at all. So you know, you probably are 5, 10, 15% behind where you was, but I bet you if you go through, as I said, a decent 8, 10, 12 week plan or whatever, you'll be somewhere near you was before. You won't have lost that much strength. So I do think that there is a massive factor of like managing your expectations, and like it's okay because you're not going to be as strong, but you're never going to be, because do you think like Eddie Hall can just go and pick up that 500 kilo again? Absolutely not. Like, when he picked up that 500 kilo, he would have had time off, and then if he wanted to rebuild again, then he'd rebuild like through a cycle. But just manage your expectations, because you're not going to be where you was.
Yeah, no, you definitely need to sort of manage your expectations and just accept that your strength is going to be lower to begin with. And you know, you don't want to be sort of risking it too much and trying to hit the PBs, because then there's like risk for injury, risk for increased DOMS, like, so delayed onset muscle soreness, which are all things which could make you think, you know what, I can't be doing with this. This is, I feel like shit now. Yeah. So
I actually read an article on a guy called Charlie Francis, and he trained a sprinter called Ben Johnson in the 80s. And basically one of his principles were, obviously it's slightly different because it's sprinting and not gym related, but it's the same concept because you're still taxing the CNS system. If a sprinter in one of the sessions accidentally got a new PB on their sprint, he'd call the session off.
Well,
just to like preserve the CNS system, just to reduce the risk of injury. So say for example, if that guy went and got a PB in the sprint, the coach would call it off because you're taxing the CNS too much. And I actually found that really interesting, because I know so many guys that go to the gym and they'll try and one rep max every week. Like, imagine what that must be doing to like to your central nervous system. Like, you must like feel so fried for like 24 to 48 hours after that, and that's going to have a knock-on effect for the rest of your training of the week. So like, I guess what I'm saying is like, yeah, take a step off and start building towards a new sort of goal, but don't just try on one rep max every week.
So taking the positives out of it, so really what you're saying is that the CNS system, it kind of, you've got to play a bit of catch up with it. So once it's kind of caught back up, then in theory, would you kind of get back to your previous sort of strengths quicker than you did last time because of kind of like a similar concept as muscle memory, which we can talk about in a minute?
I would say with the CNS, it's almost not like a catch up, but I would say it's about like priming it. Okay, so you must have heard of like excitation before in terms of the CNS system. So yep. Like what I would say is so you have like receptors, which will then go to your CNS, so your brain, spinal cord, and then it will then go to effectors, okay? To lift heavy weights fast, okay, them effectors and receptors need to be working fast. Mm-hmm. If you've not worked them for God knows however long, you know, they're gonna be working like really slowly. Sorry, I'm trying to put this into a context where all audiences will be able to like understand and try and take it on board. So yeah, if your receptors and your effectors are working slowly and you've not primed them, okay, you've not trained them like you would train a muscle, okay, you then can't expect them to go and do what they have done. So what I'm saying is, over time, that will build back up. They mm-hmm. will speed back up, and you know you'll start to get back to the places where you was. So yeah, at the most basic principle, you need to treat it almost with like a little respect, I would say. Yeah. And you know, there is no expectation, because there's a guy that I follow, actually, his name's Chris Speed, and he does like his weightlifting coach, and with his athletes that didn't have access to like a barbell and stuff, like I know that he did a lot of sprints with them. Like I followed what he did on Instagram and he coached me for a bit. Like he's a good guy. It's actually quite interesting, because obviously when he got his weightlifters to sprint, obviously it's not the same stimulus, i.e. lifting heavy weights, but you're still taxing the CNS system in the same way, in that maximal effort. And I think that actually had, obviously I can't speak firsthand, but it looks like it's had a really good carryover from sprints to back in the gym. So what I'm trying to say is, obviously people haven't had that stimulation on that CNS system for so long. Don't expect it to be where it was prior.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's some evidence that suggests, like, for example, with when you're kind of like trying to optimize everything for building muscle, that if you're doing too much like cardio, especially sort of more high intensity stuff, then it's that same thing, like it's taxing that. So then it's impacting kind of like your recovery and the adaptation of growing muscle and stuff like that. So yeah, like I guess like you've got to manage it somehow, and you've got to set your expectations to kind of like build up, haven't you, like after returning.
I think it's like anything in the gym though, at the most basic form, you know, start at 60% and build progressively, overload over time, you know, that like in the most basic principles, like that's it, back off a little bit and just build it over a certain amount of weeks.
So muscle is another one, isn't it, that we were going to talk about, because I mean, a lot of people like are worried that they've lost muscle, and you know, there's like a lot of things to consider actually, like it's quite hard to like, so for example, like if you've been back to the gym and you think you've lost muscle, it might not be, you might not have lost muscle to begin with. It might just, because you haven't trained for so long, your muscles sort of depleted, or they're not sort of full in terms of, because you've not been training, they're sort of like, you haven't got that sort of like pump, so there's not sort of much glycogen being stored in there, and actual sort of blood from sort of inflammation of training.
Well, you're prepping for a photo shoot, mate. How's the prep gone? How are your muscles looking?
Yeah, I mean, right now, like I'm starting to feel a little bit flat, like just from, because calories are quite low. So there are some days where I kind of feel a little bit flat, and you don't get as sort of like good as a pump, as if you want to call it that. But training hard, training consistently. So it's kind of like,
sorry, just for listeners, what do you mean by pump?
So a pump would be what a lot of people will go to the gym for. So they're trying to get the burn and try and get a pump. And that's generally where you, after doing resistance training for like number of reps, number of sets, you start to get what's known as like a pump. So the blood sort of flowing into the muscles and inflammation, water and stuff like that. And that kind of stays there for a little while. And that's why you kind of, some people kind of get this sort of inflammation or pump straight after workout, and then that can kind of sit with you for a few days after. Jamal's never had a pump before, so that's why I think he's laughing.
Is that why you train biceps on a Friday night?
Yeah, just before, yeah, definitely. Friday night, get the pump before you go out, yeah.
Buys and tries, real quick.
People still do that, you know. I'm pretty sure they do.
Oh, I hate to see it. If that's you, that's nothing personal. That's nothing personal.
Maybe when I was like a bit younger than you, mate. I bet your crowd still do it now, didn't they?
no shade on any of my friends, but not many of them go to the gym.
So where was we? So with muscles, so that could be one thing. So you might find that when you go back to the gym, actually after like a week or two of training, that just from that kind of like, not necessarily actual muscle fibers, just from kind of the inflammation and training, that you already kind of feel a little bit fuller. So that's kind of one thing. And then another thing is what's called like muscle memory. So if you've built muscle in the past, there's a lot of evidence to show that you can build it back a lot quicker than what it took you to build in the first place. So there's been loads of, like, it's different, you know, some people may be taking like enhancements and steroids and stuff like that, but it's been seen where, like, say people have taken 10 years to build like a really impressive physique, a lot of muscle, and then they've had like a year off, and then they've gone back into training and they've literally kind of built back up to what they looked like after 10 years in the space of like 6 months or a year. This person was probably on steroids, but still, for anyone being kind of natural, there is still that ability to kind of build things back a lot quicker. And that's a good thing for strength as well, right? Because like there is that it's interlinked with strength, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say people get like caught up in, oh my God, I've lost like so much muscle over lockdown, I've lost so much strength, but I can't quote it because I can't remember the exact figures, but we looked at something, didn't we, about how much stimulation a muscle needs to actually lose some size, and it was so much less than we thought. So, you know, the chances are, if you're an active person and you've been doing something, I'm not saying this is the same for everyone, obviously it's different for people at all different levels, but if you've been doing something, you've not lost absolutely everything that you've worked for all these years, you know what I mean? So
it's a lot harder to lose than what people think. And the key recommendations to like evidence-based stuff to make sure that you preserve muscle, this is when you're sort of dieting, where there is the risk of losing it, is to eat enough protein and do some form of resistance training. Like Jamal was just saying, that you don't actually need to do anywhere near as much to maintain it.
Yeah, so to build, obviously you have to progressively overload and you have to create quite a lot of stimulus, but to maintain, that's a different question and it's a lot lower than you think.
Yeah, that's right. So
I will re-research that and get the figures and say next time.
So it's a positive. But at the same time, even with building muscle, there's still going to be like, if you've had a lot of time off, the same sort of applies. Like you're going to need a few weeks to get back into it. You're going to get really sore to begin with because you've had so much time out. And because you have lost strength, that's going to impact it a little bit. But then the positives are that because you've had so much time out of it, you're kind of fresh and you could do like the smallest amount and that would be enough stimulation to build muscle again. So there's always like pros and cons, but I guess the important thing that we want to get across is that don't give up too early if you are and you're getting down about it, because it's totally normal and you've just got to be a bit consistent for a little while to let everything sort of settle back in. Your body's got to get back used to it, whether your goal is strength, whether your goal is building muscle.
And then I think away from the training side of things, because I think this is big for a lot of people. I've got one or two clients at the minute, who online clients, that don't want to go back to a commercial gym. And I've sort of said to them, like, and they have anxieties around, is it safe? They haven't been in so long, etc. And I think my stance on it is, it's obviously we have a private studio here, but I coach at Unit 22 as well. and like the safety protocols there are like top notch. And also as well, we've still got friends in several gyms around Northampton, and it seems like most of the gyms are doing their bit. So just try and get your foot like through the door and see if you feel comfortable, because I know that the anxiety is high for a couple of people. As I said, I'm having personal experience with clients now. Just give it a try, get your foot through the door, because I know most gyms have got like capacity apps and loads of different things going on at the minute.
Yeah, like the whole like anxiety and social anxiety thing is quite big at the minute, and it's not like for gyms, and just like it's been a hugely tough year, and people that have had so much time away from busy places and then going back into one, like if you had elements of anxiety before, like it's going to be a big shock to the system. So the thought of going into like a busy gym, and then there's also the links with, you know, people feeling bad about themselves and putting pressure on themselves that maybe they've gained a few pounds, maybe because they haven't been in so long, they've forgotten how to squat with good form. So then they're worried about people watching them and things like that. But again, it's kind of like that might be the feelings now, but we like everyone kind of feels like that to a certain extent, and you've just got to give it a bit of time. And whether it is a case of training on your own for a little bit at home in a private studio here or whatever to build up your confidence and then go back in, don't be too hard on yourself. I think a lot of people that we've spoken to and our clients, it's easy to be like that, but it's been a massively tough year, isn't it? So
You know that I found it really tough at the start of last year, so you know everyone has different struggles and stuff. It is what it is.
Everyone's dealt with it differently. Yeah. Like some people it might have worked in their favour, the total opposite for someone else. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Literally, mate.
I think that brings us quite nicely into just general social situations, to be fair, mate.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, we wanted to cover this because again, it's all kind of interlinked, isn't it? Like, again, if you haven't been to a pub with a group of friends for a year, then suddenly going to a pub, no matter like how confident you are, it's going to be a bit like, oh, this feels weird. Like,
yeah.
For some people that might be like, oh my God, I feel so nervous about this. I've forgotten how to socialize. Like,
So on Saturday, so for you guys listening, this will be released on Tuesday. So this would have been the Saturday prior. So you'll be listening to this 3 days after. We're going to London for one of my friend's birthday, just a couple of us going down. We're going to have a few drinks and stuff. Happy birthday, Eloise, by the way, if you're listening. Anyway, like we're going down and like, I've forgotten how to buy a train ticket. I was speaking to one of my friends the other night who was going with us. And I was like, I just couldn't work train line anymore. And just things like that. Like you don't even think about it. Be like, I have not done this in so long. Like, I'm like, well, okay, what's it going to be like? Is it, and obviously it's like, am I allowed in this place? Like, is it just outside? And there's so many question marks all over the place at the minute.
And that requires more of your mental energy, I guess, because you're having to like think what was quite natural to you, maybe requiring a bit more mental energy. Like, for example, trying to work out how to book a train ticket, like Jamal said. And the point we were trying to get across is that like, so if that's little things like that, lots of little things are taking like more of your energy. And then you're also trying to get back into fitness in the gym. Like it's not going to be easy to begin with. And that's probably why like you're finding it hard. Everyone's going to be finding it hard.
And I think as well, it's like put aside the actual social anxieties. I think in terms of, because obviously I know you've got a lot of, fat loss clients, Tristan. In terms of actually then going out and then making them smart choices when you're with your friends in social situations and being able to manage that across the week and across the months can be quite tough. I can speak from personal experience. I'm happy that I dieted when I did because it was easy because there was nothing going on. Since the pubs have been back open, I've been at about maintenance because I've topped the rest of my calories up with a couple of beers here and there. Less said about that, the better. But it's got to be tough for people that way as well.
It is tough because it's a shock to the system, and you've now got more temptations and every right to as well, because like you haven't socialized, you haven't seen friends, family for so long, then of course you're going to want to go out. And whether you, it's not unfortunate, but it makes, because of the way our lifestyles are, Western culture, when we meet up with friends, often we have alcohol that has a fair bit of calories. Often there's nice high calorie food that goes with it that we eat out. And then things like the effects of alcohol, which can impact your hunger. It can make you feel like crap the next day. so then you become less active, and then it can have another impact of maybe, you know, say you've just had a good week of being consistent, going to the gym, prepping your food, and then because you feel like crap on a Sunday, all of a sudden all of those habits now feel really tough to kind of get back into. So again, these things, you've got, like, you have to relearn and try and manage those. Because if you don't, then if you have got like a fat loss goal, then it can impact that goal.
So like, I know you've done a few posts on this. What would, for like someone like me, who's going to go to London on Saturday, have a few drinks, probably be a little bit hungover on Sunday, maybe feeling a bit sorry for myself. How do I then draw a line under that and then move on in the coming weeks and get back on track as such?
Yeah. So there's a few things. I mean, number one would be don't drink, but that's never going to happen. So like, that's why, you know, like, you could say something simple like that and that probably would cure it, right? But we know that maybe you don't want to do that and you're not going to do that. So there are a few things you can do. One thing that I would, and from my own experience as well, like, is to like plan for the unplanned. So what I mean by that is expect to feel like crap on that Sunday and know that on that Sunday, if you usually do your meal prepping, if you usually do certain things, whether it's like getting your gym clothes ready or organizing general stuff like that, that you, whether you wake up feeling fresh or not on that Sunday, you plan for feeling super, super bad. So you do things prior to that. So then on that Sunday, you're not going to do nothing. So at least on Monday when you wake up, like, you've got some sort of stuff ready for the week, and it doesn't take too much effort or mental capacity for you to get back into your habits pretty quickly. And that's the key thing for something, and for anything really, like for building muscle, fat loss, like it is the impact of time that you lose from, say, like a drinking session, of how long it then takes you to get back into those habits that were working towards your goal.
Yeah.
So that would be probably one of the main things. But then you can start to manipulate your calories, so you can kind of like save calories or bank calories by having less calories earlier in the week, because you know you're going to have more at the weekend and stuff like that.
So say for example, if my let's just say that I was in maintenance calories. I was happy with how I am, and my maintenance was, it's not, but it was 2,000, let's say, for numbers sake. I knew that I was going to potentially overeat or have a few drinks and stuff on the Saturday. So by banking calories, you mean almost maybe eating 1,800 during the week?
Yeah. So you'd bank some calories, yeah, save some calories. And yeah, like really you don't want to do it by too much, because you know, if you do it by too much, then you're kind of going, you're probably going to be really hungry on the days prior. But reducing it by maybe like 100 or 200, and then if you did that for say 5 days, potentially you've saved yourself, you know, maybe between 1,000 and 2,000 calories.
I can have eight coronas.
Yeah, so then you could have 8 coronas or shots of what? Vodka shots are about 60 calories or something like that, so they're pretty good.
You'd have to tie me up and make me drink a vodka shot, mate.
So after, yeah, but you could have it with soda and lime, soda water and lime, or you could have it with Diet Lemonade, Diet Coke. So they're some good choices if you are trying to keep the calories down. And shots, I think even like something like tequila or like on its own, like if you do like that, it's like about 50, 60, 70 calories or something, so it's not too bad. But as I was saying, it's not necessarily the alcohol. The alcohol tends to be quite high calories, but it's the associated effects. Like, are you then going to go and stuff yourself with an extra large pizza later on because one person mentioned it, and then because you're drunk, you're like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. And then you
sounds like you're speaking from experience.
I am speaking from experience. And then the next day, are you going to wake up at 11 a.m. and order a Domino's? You know, these types of it's those things that are going to have the impact, a multitude of things. So yeah, it's definitely something that it's tough to, as you introduce yourself back into these situations, it's going to be tough because you're not used to it. And again, it's like it comes with experience, being able to manage your socials in a way that suits your goal. So if you've got a certain goal for fat loss, or maintain, whether it's just maintaining, you know, the current physique, or whether you want to lose fat, like you can definitely still kind of go out and do socials, but it's just how much of an impact it is towards your goal, and what is your goal, and do you need to make some changes or decisions that are more in line with your goal. So juggling all of those things, your gym, your fitness, your socials, like, it's a bit tough at the minute because it is quite all new to us to some extent.
Okay, guys, so I think we are going to leave it there. If anyone has any questions that they would like to ask me and Tristan in the next episode, then please do so. You can do it over DM on Instagram. Mine is @thebar_Jamel. Tristan's is @thebar_Tristan. Then, as we said in the first episode, we also have a joint page, which is @thebar_training guys. Once again, thanks for listening. If you made it this far to us rambling on, then you're an absolute star. You got anything to add, mate?
No, that's it. Thank you for listening.